Well, a chilly good evening to you all. As I mentioned in the beginning, we're going to be following Luke's gospel throughout the year ahead, but we start with John's gospel and this very familiar story of the wedding at Cana. It's also basically the story that John begins his gospel with, once he gets into the body of the gospel. And as you know, in John's gospel, there are many layers of meaning that need to be peeled out and found out in terms of what are the deeper meaning of this story, rather than just a simple miracle of changing the water into wine, which is a good thing to be able to do. In the account of the wedding at Cana, the meaning of the water becoming wine is a symbol. The ablution jars that are sitting outside are a symbol. The wedding itself, an image of the covenant, our relationship with God, and the great covenants of Old Testament, and of course, the covenant we celebrate at this altar. One of the central images here, though, is that the people ran out of wine at the wedding. And this symbolizes people who have run out of hope. The rituals and covenants of old, represented by the empty water jars, are not changing this. There are people struggling to hope. As you know, life in that time and in that place was very, very difficult. By the time John is writing his gospel, there has been the destruction of Jerusalem. There has been severe persecutions that the people are experiencing. As a church, we are beginning the Jubilee year. And the theme of this Jubilee year is hope. Pope Francis has told us that hope is both a duty and a gift. He tells us hoping and waiting for something that has already been given to us, the salvation by God and God's infinite love. Our world, as we look around it, seems to be running out of hope and joy. We're afraid for the vulnerable. We're sorrowful for the victims of war. Concerned about our country and about the world, especially about our own descendants in this time of unpredictable upheaval on every front. What are we to do? Well, Mary herself didn't know what Jesus was going to do, only that he would make a difference. She put her trust in him, as we should as well. In this Jubilee year, we are called to be pilgrims of hope. Our hour has come. And we have been given the gifts necessary for the moment, not only to do whatever he tells us to do, but also to understand that it is not our work, but God's work that will do and accomplish what we hope for. In his introduction to this holy year, Pope Francis begins by quoting St. Paul, "Hope does not disappoint." There's a phrase we could just repeat every day, couldn't we? Hope does not disappoint. And in calling us to a year of hope, the Holy Father shares, and I'll briefly summarize his points in his proclamation of the Holy Year that took place clear 9 months ago. He talks about a word of hope. Hope does not disappoint because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. God's love has been given to us. He goes on to quote that powerful passage, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels or rulers, nothing present, nothing to come, no powers or heights or depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Those two quotes flowing from the book of Romans. And he continues from Romans to instruct us, as does St. Paul. "We boast of our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope." So, in a sense, oddly, we give thanks to God for those difficult times we face in life because they can lead us on a path of great glory in hope of God. Francis invites us to see the signs of hope. In addition, to finding hope in God's grace, we are also called to discover hope in the signs of the times that the Lord gives to us. This was a phrase made famous, really, in the Second Vatican Council, as they observed, in every age, the Church has the responsibility of reading the signs of the times and interpreting them in the light of the gospel. We need to recognize the immense goodness present in our world, lest we be tempted to think ourselves overwhelmed by evil and by violence. The first sign of hope that Francis tells us should be the universal desire for peace in our world. All of us, however, need to recover the joy of being people of hope and living in this way. We are created, after all, in the image and likeness of God. So we cannot rest content with getting along one day at a time, settling for the here and now and seeking fulfillment in material realities alone. This leads us, he says, to a narrow individualism and a loss of hope. It gives rise to sadness that lodges in the heart and brings forth fruits of discontent and intolerance. During this holy year, we are called to be tangible signs of hope for our brothers and sisters who experience hardships of any kind. Hope, together with faith and charity, make up the theological virtues that express the heart of Christian life. In their inseparable unity, hope is the virtue that gives inward direction and purpose to the life of believers. And it is the death and resurrection of Jesus that is the heart of our faith and the basis of our hope. Hope finds its supreme witness in the Mother of God. In the Blessed Virgin, we see that hope is not naive optimism, but a gift of grace amidst the realities of life. It is not by chance that popular piety continues to invoke the Blessed Virgin as Stella Maris, a title that bespeaks that sure and certain hope amidst the tempests of this life. The Mother of God comes to our aid, sustains us, and encourages us to persevere in hope and trust. We have this hope, and it is a sure and steadfast anchor for the soul. The image of the anchor in Scripture is eloquent. It helps us to recognize the stability and security that is ours amidst the troubled waters of this life, provided we entrust ourselves to the Lord Jesus. The storms that buffet us will never prevail, for we are firmly anchored in the hope born of grace, which enables us to live in Christ and to overcome sin and fear and death. This hope, which transcends life's fleeting pleasures and the achievements of our own immediate goals, makes us rise above our trials and difficulties and inspires us to keep pressing forward. This coming Jubilee year will be a holy year marked by the hope that does not fade, and that, of course, is our hope in God. May it help us to recover that confident trust that we require in the Church and in society, in our own interpersonal relationships, in international relations, and in our task of promoting dignity for all persons and respect for the gift of creation itself. May the witness of believers be our world, before our world, a leaven of authentic hope, a harbinger of new heaven and a new earth, where men and women will dwell in justice and harmony, in joyful expectation of the fulfillment of the Lord's promises to us. Let us even now be drawn to this hope. Through our witness, may hope spread to all who anxiously seek it. May the way we live, our lives, say to them in so many words, hope in the Lord, hold firm, take heart, and hope in the Lord. Psalm 27. Hope lost is not easy to restore, but we are blessed with a year to focus on restoring that hope in our lives, in our society, and in our world, and a lifetime to be guided by it.